You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Rock flag and eagle! On to the knockout stages. That Red Bull was a mistake.
That was a choice. That was a choice.
That wasn't a choice. It killed the bad judgment by handing me. Noted Angels person.
I mean, you could just say no.
I mean, it was a nice gesture. It's like, yeah, I should get charged up to fire Greg Berhalter if things keep going the same way. Greg, you have earned a naval ship in your honor. I am firmly aboard for the next couple of days, the USS Berhalter. Lots to discuss here. We'll get all into it. Obviously, massive. 8 years in the making. That's our first win in the World Cup.
Since they beat Ghana in 2014 in the group opener.
That is Christian Pulisic's first World Cup goal.
Yeah.
Never in the U.S.'s history, and he's a national hero, America's penis. Never in the history of U.S. men's national team soccer have they had a player like Christian Pulisic. And certainly, they have never had a replacement for him. And he wasn't spectacular on the day, but he displayed skill that in previous incarnations of U.S. soccer, as long as we've been alive, you just knock it away. You certainly don't be able to get a very creative turn and to keep possession and continue to milk time off the clock. Brendan Aaronson, I thought, performed admirably and displayed qualities why he's next up in the eyes of many. Let me praise our captain, Tyler Adams, who displayed such stamina, such great positioning, and the intelligence to not pick up a second yellow. There were times in that second half.
It was on for him to do it.
Where he knew he was out of position and he was considering it, and he realized how important he was to this team. Didn't take it. No additional yellows. You don't have to worry about suspensions here for the knockout stages. The U.S. are in the knockout
stages. We're in the knockout stages. We're going to play the Netherlands on Saturday.
Oh, 10 a.m. Saturday against the Dutch team. We'll preview that.
Yeah.
Probably their best performance today against Qatar. Who knows what you can do with that.
But yeah.
Iran, I thought, really grew into that game. Had us all nervous. You and I were squinting towards the one TV that was ahead everywhere. Let's talk about the most dramatic moment there in the end. There were plenty of calls for handball on one Shaq Moore clash in the box.
There was the Carter Vickers incident with Mehdi Taremi, where he sort of has his hands around his shoulders. That's the most that I was sweating because there was a VAR check. And like that's the moment that I peeked over to the TV that was ahead.
I've seen Spanish football enough to know that call there would have been out of character.
Right.
Oh, who's that? Security. So U.S. advance, huge momentum going into the World Cup 4 years from now. Obviously, the expectations are going to be even further heightened. Invaluable knockout stage experience for this U.S. team. I'm going to let you do it because you've been a believer in this system. Go ahead. Praise the man in charge, Greg Berhalter.
Yeah, I mean, he has done what he was asked to do. Qualify the U.S. for the World Cup. Beat Mexico in the region in CONCACAF tournaments and get out of this group. Those are his tasks. Honestly, I wish they did a bit more in the second half going forward. They really had us sweating for 40 straight minutes. The U.S. came out in the second half and were decent the first 15, but after that, it was one-way traffic and you're just surviving. And honestly, you mentioned the moments of skill. When you're trying to survive, the outlets that you have just to hold on to the ball for a bit, they did it 8 or 9 times and really honestly forced Iran to play it long and the thing that, I mean, yes, I like the U.S.'s notion of evolving their style, but they did not give away a goal from open play in the three-game group stage. They are rock solid defensively, with Tyler Adams at the base of the midfield. Cameron Carter-Vickers established himself as a player that is probably going to get picked a lot for U.S. national teams off the basis of this one performance. He was brilliant. Walker Zimmerman came off the bench and must have headed seven straight crosses away. Tim Ream, fantastic. Anthony Robinson didn't have his best game, but always uses his pace as a threat. Serginho Dest was great. Even Shaq Moore did his job off the bench.
One of Dest's best performances maybe ever.
Yeah.
And that includes club as well. I think the center back position, which was a cause for so many concerns over the last 8 years, you're finally seeing the pairing, even though they weren't really out there together much.
Yeah.
Cameron Carter-Vickers and Walker Zimmerman. Walker Zimmerman was a titan.
Yes.
And credit to Greg Berhalter yet again for pushing all the right buttons, made some really good subs there. I was a little nervous when we saw Moore. I would have liked an option for Musa, who looked ready to make a big mistake.
If they had a sixth sub in the 85th minute, they would have taken Musa off. I think in the overall, you have to start as fundamental as a player as he is for the U.S. It just doesn't seem like he's 90 minutes fit.
No.
Maybe between the recovery, between now and Saturday, you can get him to a place where he's ready to play 90 minutes, but he's slowed down in all three of the group games, as good as he is.
We have to see what that injury is to Josh Sargent, because I thought he was really good
and
today.
And to Pulisic as well.
Yeah, Pulisic, hopefully it is an impact injury.
Yeah.
And maybe he just fights through a bruise to his penis. that's a gimmick infringement. That's yours. But
it's all good.
It's just part of the regular vernacular.
Normalized
here.
Penis.
Hopefully it's not a pool. Christian Pulisic has been a player historically over the last few years that has struggled with soft tissue injury. I haven't seen anything right now. We're probably going to get more information after they speak to the press. Christian Pulisic has been on his most healthy form right now for club and country, and he proved today why he is essential. He was on all the marketing campaigns. He was on all the posters. He's a name that if you're a casual, you know. He is a name in Europe, you know. You may mispronounce it, or at least not pronounce it to his liking, but he is a Champions League winner and a bona fide star in this country with that goal, one of the biggest in U.S. history, didn't cross the threshold into superstardom.
I hope so. I hope so, because I think it's so cool that he scored this goal in this moment, because in a game of soccer, you can be a great player and not necessarily get your name on the score sheet. You can set it up for somebody else. You can contribute to the play. And I think anyone who knows the game can watch it and go, well, Christian Pulisic is obviously a sensational player. But when you score a goal in the manner in which he did, making the run on the inside of the defender and scoring in that manner.
Such a Christian Pulisic goal.
Right.
A goal that no one else is really capable
of
on this roster at the moment, outside of maybe Brendan Aaronson.
And honestly, it's here.
Yes.
And we can talk all we want about his first touch and his skill. Mentally, he is as switched on of a player as, honestly, you can see the world over. For Chelsea, he does this. For the U.S., he does this. And I'm so happy for him, because there are times where it felt like a weight. It felt like something where he had to press. He had to do more to earn his status as the U.S.'s current best player, as the player that is the future of American soccer, as the player who opens doors for other American soccer players to play at big European clubs. I can understand how that feels like a weight. Hell, they made a Volkswagen commercial about what that pressure is like for him, and yet for him to get the goal at the end of the game, they flashed the graphic on the screen. USA 1, Iran 0, Pulisic 38. I love that his name is on that graphic, because he deserves it for what he's done for the American game for the last 5 years. Even he's crying on the field after they lost to Trinidad and Tobago in 2017 that had them out of the World Cup. For him to go on that journey and lead this team and be a star player, so happy for the guy.
To be a player that also isn't the most emotional on the pitch, at least for a club.
Yeah.
He'll flash that intensity occasionally, but you know he's a different guy when he's on the national team. He's a guy that celebrated in the U.S. soccer sweatshirt after winning the Champions League for Chelsea. He's more of a leadership guy, lead by example type of leader, which is why he's not wearing the armband. Tyler Adams is a more vocal player, obviously, but a special quality. And everybody that we interviewed, from Christian to Greg Berhalter to Mateo Kovacic, we had so many conversations about what you were just talking about, that intangible ability to get in the right passing, to read the game so well. Christian Pulisic has done that better than any men's national team player we've ever seen. A heroic performance from him. We certainly hope he's okay, because I don't like their chances in the knockout stages without their best player.
Yeah, and he has become a fundamental part of this team. And you feel good about having Brendan Aaronson available, even Gio Reyna available to come on. He didn't come on in this game. Right. I mean, you know, there's a possibility that you can survive without him, albeit he just has that talismanic character. You mentioned looking ahead to the Netherlands. I have to be honest, it feels like a bit of a free hit, because the Dutch are such a good national team. They're going to be heavily favored to win the game. And yet, I've developed confidence in this team over these three games that I honestly didn't imagine that I'd have. I have a confidence that Greg Berhalter, we ask all the time, know your best 11. Well, he knows his best 10, because the striker position is still up in the air, although I think Sargent, if not for the injury, would have solidified himself as being the best option at that number 9 position.
He was doing all the dirty things you'd like to see a striker do, keeping possession and flash skill that you typically have never had there. I mean, if this were the days of Jozy Altidore, he would have been holding up at the midway line. To be able to have that clever turn there, it looked like, I know he was hurting his ankle, I was really worried about his knee. I hope he's okay, because he proved why he should be on this roster. I was never really, whenever we talk about Josh Sargent on this national team, I'm like, if you're applying that logic for him being informant for club, why not Ricardo Pepi? But that wasn't the striker that I would have left off in place of Ricardo Pepi.
Josh Sargent, Ryder Ferreira, who hasn't played yet.
Yeah, who played with Ricardo Pepi in FC Dallas. Yeah. If he would have featured in this, Greg would have, especially if the result didn't go his way, Greg would have a lot of explaining to do.
Right, and again, he knows his best 10 and has trusted these guys in every game. The one swap out for Carter Vickers, who again stepped up. He has done a brilliant job of managing the way that this team functions. He had a plan. They've been probably building towards it in qualifying, and they've executed each game to perfection. I thought in this game, maybe you could have a go at him for basically saying, we're going to bunker and we're going to defend for the last 40 minutes of the game, but can you really question him if it worked? And honestly, there wasn't that heart-in-mouth chance where you go, oh man, they got lucky there. There's the foul and a build-up to a shot that just drilled around the post. There was a couple half chances.
I was a little nervous on that last sequence in front of Matt Turner.
With Carter Vickers potentially committing the penalty, that would have been devastating. But ultimately, he has had a way to approach this game. For as much as he's sort of criticized for being overly wedded to his system, we've seen when he managed Columbus that he can't put together a game plan for a specific game to nullify an opponent, to do things that are specific to that opponent, and then that's exactly what he's done. You sort of understand that in the World Cup, it's about each specific game, and I'll be curious how they go about approaching this Netherlands game in terms of, are they trying to negate their possession? Are they pressing? Do they have the energy to press? There's a lot of questions between now and then, but right now, we can just enjoy mission accomplished. The U.S. did not embarrass themselves at this World Cup. They did everything that you would want them to do at this tournament, and full credit to the manager and the players for getting the job done.
What have I been screaming for from the U.S.? Stingy defense. A defensive-first approach. Can't do much better than what they did, certainly from open play. You cannot. They became that stingy team, a gritty team. We're seeing them grow into this American identity.
Right.
And now, against the Dutch, they're going to be able to take on this persona that I come alive for. Obviously, a historical international power in the Dutch, even though they've never won a World Cup. They're always, most of our lives, have been in the conversation. Although, it's kind of a down year for the Dutch.
They haven't been great, other than playing Qatar today, who I think we can pretty comfortably say are the worst team at this tournament.
Well, Gakpo is an incredible player. Yeah. They have really good players, especially along that back line. It's going to be hard aerially to do anything against them. I still want to hold off on previewing that a little bit. Let's talk about the macro sense. Entering this World Cup, flatly, I thought it was more likely that the U.S. would finish last in their group than come as close as they did to damn near winning the thing and going toe-to-toe with the best team in the group, who was spectacular today, by the way. Marcus Rashford is in stellar form.
Yeah, and England are going to be a threat to win this tournament. But to your point, I think you have to cherry-pick results in order to find the positive outlook heading into this tournament. You have to look back at how they played against Mexico, really, in both games. I think you see a lot of the Mexico game plan executed at this World Cup. They were dreadful against Canada. They were dreadful away from home in CONCACAF. at home sometimes they're a bit languid and they use the ball and they were trying to get fancy and they just couldn't execute. The last two friendlies before the tournament were appalling. And so you really had to hold on to, I guess what you can say are big games. And if you go back to the Nations League in 2021, when they beat Mexico in the final, they really struggled for 15 minutes and eventually found their way. In the Gold Cup final, when they're playing a B team against a Mexico A team, and they were sort of doing the similar suffering that they're doing today. Honestly, really, all of the positivity around the U.S. entering this World Cup would be on the basis of how they performed against Mexico, getting up for big games. Every one of these has been a big game, and they have been up for it. I honestly can't think of too many players where you go, oh, shit, he's on the field, yeah. Or I didn't like his performance. I honestly don't think I can pick one. I feel great about every American player that could start the next game against the Netherlands.
It was all about ushering this golden generation into a certain place, a place where they were getting big game experience, did some suffering along the way, could grow. When they got to this stage, it wouldn't be too much for them. For me, it's still about 2026.
Yeah.
And that's my attitude. If they somehow get a victory over the Dutch, then we're all aboard. And yeah. We're seeing how far we can take this. And to a degree, I'm already there. But I think Greg Berhalter, controversial figure for many, did the job.
Yeah.
The assignment was to bring these players along, this generation along, and lay the foundation for what we all hope is a deeper run in 2026. Mission accomplished. There was one piece of the starting 11 that you could hyper-analyze because he remained consistent throughout it. It was Cameron Carter-Vickers, and
he was great.
And he was great. He was fantastic. Greg is taking each game by its own identity and approaching it in a way that I think is admirable. However, we're going to nitpick. Two goals in the group stages.
Yeah.
It's a little scary. It's a little scary, and it speaks to the biggest weakness of this U.S. team. Outside of Christian Pulisic, there really isn't a player that you can say, go get me that goal.
Yeah.
And that ultimately might be their undoing against a formidable back line of the Dutch.
Yeah, I think in this game in particular, you saw it in the first half, where the chances were there. There were the opportunities to go and get a second after they scored, a first before they scored. And in the second half, there were a couple of counter-attacking moments. Haji Wright in the 99th minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty lame shot in the end when he could have finished. Ultimately, he had done so much running. He did his job, but ultimately, if he sort of takes that confidently, and even if the keeper makes a save, at the very least, you can see some confidence coming through. But you're right. It, particularly if Pulisic doesn't play, where are you going to go from? And that's still kind of a question. Ultimately, you get through this World Cup, scored two, conceded one, and that's enough to get you over the line. But you see other teams, other games that finish, their games have been 2-1. There was multiple 3-3s yesterday. Like, it doesn't seem like other teams find it so difficult to score.
Yeah.
And you can point to their players and say, they might be worse than American attackers, and yet there's just something about them that allows them to score easier. I don't know if it's the specific shape of the game or what the difficulty is there, but ultimately, and you're going against the Netherlands next, there's not going to be a ton of goals there either. So
right.
The U.S. are going to have to kind of scratch and claw their way to win this tournament.
To get through to the next round.
Yeah, I've lost the plot a bit.
That's crazy talk. I don't think the state of the U.S. striker position is as morbid as perhaps we're putting voice to it. It's just the state of the U.S. striker position at this tournament. I happen to think that they have a very good striker in Ricardo Pepi.
Yeah.
Didn't get called up, but it seems like you finally found your keeper. We all thought it was going to be Zach Steffen. It ended up being Matt Turner. He's solid. He's not going to make the mistake. You trust him with the ball at his feet. I think he's got that position on lock, and hopefully he can get more regular playing time for his professional career. Back line, Dest was always in the cards. Once he made the selection to go to the U.S., you knew hopefully he could be a player that you can trust in that shirt. The question with him was always, can he track back? Can he be defensive-minded? Can he be effective on the defensive aspects of the game? I thought going forward, and right now on our screen, they're showing a replay of Christian Pulisic's walk back to the locker room, walking very ginger. So hopefully he's going to be okay, because that did not look good. That was not for the cameras. He is still very much hurting, so I'm very curious to hear that. But back to Sergiño Dest. We always knew he was threatening going forward.
Yeah.
Today, really great in being able to track back. He's the type of player that is most susceptible to counterattacks. He's always had the pace to make up for it, but can the decision-making be there? Can the upper body strength be there? Today, I know it's Iran, limited offensively, but encouraging building blocks for Sergiño Dest. And a credit to actually getting him in the program, because it wasn't locked.
The U.S. flatly would not be here unless they hadn't recruited Sergiño Dest off the Netherlands and Yunus Musah off England and others. They are fundamental parts of this team, and again, credit to Greg Berhalter for getting that recruiting job done. But as it relates to Dest, we talked in the pregame about needing to give him the freedom to go forward a bit more and get into the play a bit more, and he was absolutely given that freedom. The U.S. understood that they were not going to be able to play him as sort of a right center back in a three and get the chance that they wanted to have. He's very good technically. He's very good getting forward. He put some good crosses in. He headed the cross for Pulisic. He gets an assist on the day. He's been great. And for me, he's sort of always been a bit of a defensive liability, particularly on aerial balls. But at the very least, if he doesn't win them, he puts the attacker off enough so that it's not necessarily an easy win for him, or he's in on goal after winning that aerial duel. So Dest has been fantastic in this tournament so far.
I wonder if we learned a little something about him. Maybe he needs to have the ability to bomb forward, to get a little bit more engaged in the defensive aspect. Maybe that's, as we're still learning these players, is you don't have a lot of time with them in camp.
Yep.
It was kind of a way to get him engaged, and that was the best defensive effort I can remember seeing from him, at least for country. Okay, Netherlands, USA, we're there. We're previewing a knockout stage game.
So cool.
For the U.S. Against a big marquee opponent. Not the previous golden generation of the Dutch. They're kind of in transition, too. Virgil van Dijk across the back line, a player that is still considered by many in the prime of his career. It's going to be really tough to beat aerially defensively, but also poses a threat. U.S. can at times be susceptible to set pieces.
Yeah.
I think we're in for another gritty affair, Chris, because this isn't the overwhelming attacking Dutch that we're used to seeing. Kind of changed our identity a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think the Netherlands are going to blow the U.S. away. That's sort of my prevailing feeling coming into the game, is that I think it's going to be really close. It's going to be low scoring, because it seems like the U.S. games are just going to be low scoring. And then ultimately it comes down to the Netherlands have some really top players sort of every level. Their goalkeeper was a bit of a surprise choice, but Virgil van Dijk and Nathan Ake at the back. Frankie de Jong in the middle. And right now Cody Gakpo has emerged. He's not a player that's playing for a big club right now. That's going to change after this World Cup. He's definitely the player, along with Mohamed Kudus of Ghana, that's probably earned his way into a bigger role somewhere else. So I think that it's going to be a tough game to sort of get around those players. You're going to have to play against the ball like you did against England. It's a team that has always historically prioritized possession. And ultimately, how do you figure out a way to nullify their ability to create chances and score goals? We know they can do that. I'm kind of like, already, if you made me guess, it's going to be 0-0 after 120 minutes. Like, that's sort of like my prevailing feeling right now, is that the game is going to head to extra time and going to be relatively low scoring. I think the U.S. can make them sweat and make them earn it, and who knows, maybe take something on penalties, but that's sort of my feeling right now, is the Netherlands going to have a tough time breaking this team down. That's their strength. We talk about all the attackers, talk about this generation. The strength right now is at the back, which is a fairly stunning thing to say, because that's sort of where the problem areas were heading into the tournament.
It's been a kind of confusing experience watching the Dutch play this World Cup, because they still have players of quality. Memphis, Bergwijn's had a really confusing World Cup. The answers are on that roster. They find themselves winning their group, having not really played their best game, actually quite far from it, outside of a limited stretch in the first group match. So you're catching them at the right time. This isn't the loaded Dutch teams of years past. Let's talk a little bit about the other game that was happening. A bit of a revenge game, if you followed storylines or if you listened to coverage over the BBC. You know that the Wales team celebrated famously one time. That video went viral a little bit, and it just is a testament to the depth that Gareth Southgate has over there.
Madness.
And I honestly think that Marcus Rashford, there's a real conversation for him to be included in the starting 11 once they approach the knockout stages, because he, for club and country, has totally unlocked after really a bizarre dip in form. There's a lot going on in his life. I'm not really sure, but he has tapped back into the player that he was promised to be. And if they have Kane and Rashford, you're looking at a team that maybe history will reflect kindly upon, that 0-0 draw against them, being able to shut them down. And I'm curious to see what the coverage is going to be overseas, because they were really good today. They've only been not good once. And a lot of the coverage wasn't so much what the U.S. did.
Yeah.
It was what England failed to do.
And which players they didn't bring on.
Yeah, listless performance, awful from the English. That was another match in hand. to see that the U.S. is stingy defensively, which is not what either of us anticipated going
on. Right. We didn't expect that this would sort of be the identity, but it's kind of what it's become. England scored 9 goals in games against Wales and Iran, and none against the U.S.
Is Greg Berhalter finally listening to me? Can I take credit for this? by the way, DraftKings, we made it rain.
Yeah.
We made it rain.
Plus 650 on the parlay.
Oh, my gosh. I've seen screen caps of it being even higher. Christian Pulisic first to score. Only goal of the game, by the way. So if he would have gone first to score and last to score, kudos to you.
Yes.
Christian Pulisic, juicy there. And the U.S. does it in a win. Cash that, baby. Already on units, we're up big time.
Yeah. I mean, we have like a bankroll. And by the way, we gave out 0-0 at halftime yesterday for Portugal and Uruguay. Cash, so we're doing all right.
We're starting to figure this Winter World Cup thing out a little bit right now.
Finally, because I felt like I had no hope for the first two
matches. Oh, you know what I'm super excited to do today? I want to draw myself a bath, have about 17 Miller Lights, watch the game again.
Yes.
And just bathe myself not only in the healing waters of Miller Lite water, but Alexi Lalas's homerism to just wash over me. I want to suck all of this up, especially if the bathtub is full of Miller Lite. I want to see all the celebration videos. I want to see the president calling the team. I know that they have a professional staff filming everything going on there. They're doing that Behind the Crest thing on YouTube. I want to eat all this up. I'm going to buy so much U.S. soccer shit that my credit card is going to stop working.
I was annoyed that Cyber Monday yesterday, they don't discount any of the new World Cup gear. So you're spending a pretty penny if you're getting all the jerseys and all the swag.
Yeah, well, I was going through the closet today in previous incarnations, and it's a World Cup cycle every 4 years. They get new uniforms every year and a half or so in addition to an existing template. And I've seen like how my body has changed throughout their World Cup cycles. And since they weren't there 4 years ago, I don't really have one that would kind of look all right.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing this morning, although this is a fairly old shirt. Thankfully, it's an extra large. Yeah. But I have the Waldo kit, the Bomb Pop kit.
Yeah.
The Waldo kit's the red and white stripes.
Yeah.
I have the Bomb Pop, which is red on the back and then like blue, white, red down the front. And I put it on, and not even Mr. Nipple could help me.
No.
It was a tough scene.
No, I got something a little bit more hardcore than Mr. Nipple, by the way.
It's really?
Just, it's just straight up a bowling ball size sticker.
Yeah. Is it there now?
Yeah. I'm wearing them right now. No, this is also one of those shirts, because I wanted to wear a ridiculous shirt. This is also one of those shirts that was like, you know, maybe when you were 27, Mike. Oh, I've lost the plot a little bit. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah. The U.S. has advanced to the knockout
stages. We just want to revel in it.
Yeah.
We want to revel in Stugatz not being able to say soccer is dead tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He's going
to
come in and say,
it's
I backed the boys.
Be right.
I backed the boys all along.
Yeah.
That was his go-to move. And ultimately, like, that's honestly my feeling. When I get nervous, it's not because, like, ultimately I will wake up tomorrow morning and feel pretty fine if the U.S. didn't advance today. It's more about opportunities for the sport to grow in this country. Saturday, it's before the college football. It's kind of at a time that a lot of soccer fans are getting up and used to watching games. It's not that late. You can go to your local pub where you do for your Premier League and go watch the U.S. play the Netherlands. And honestly, with a sort of a game, you're just like, whatever. If we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. We know that the Netherlands is a better footballing nation than the U.S. It's sort of that freedom now to maybe we can do something. Maybe we can go crazy in this tournament.
Yeah, we know the storylines surrounding Netherlands. Head man in charge, Louis van Gaal, who is dealing with cancer, obviously an inspirational story. No shortage of storylines over there for the Dutch. Right now, knockout stages, early on. The knockout stages are starting to take shape. This is the first round of third matches within the group. The fun is winding down from your day being totally taken over from the group stages. We're more than halfway through this tournament already in terms of matches.
You've got 28 games left.
Yeah, if you can believe it. What are you looking for here in these knockout stage matchups that are shaping up so far?
Yeah.
The English look pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, I think the English against Senegal will be huge favorites. I would tip them to go through as well. Senegal and Ecuador, we should say hard done Ecuador to not get through to this point. They were 0-0, obviously, which is what they needed. They just needed a draw. They were 1-1 and couldn't hang on to get the point that they needed.
Really bummed that Ecuador isn't making the knockout stage.
I felt like they earned it.
Yeah, that was a tough break.
So England against Senegal, and then on the other half of the bracket, it's United United States against the Netherlands. Again, I think the U.S. is going to, they're not going to play negative, because as much as they are defensively solid, they don't do it in the way that sort of other defensively solid teams do, like a Diego Simeone Atletico Madrid team or a Jose Mourinho Chelsea team. They're about playing with the ball and trying to use the ball and sort of getting it away from their own goal by keeping it. And it's sort of like the possession is the defense. And they're very good playing out from difficult moments. They're very good dealing with dangerous balls into the area. Again, I've just been so impressed by this team defensively. Matt Turner is on our screen now. He hasn't really been asked to make, like, the save. You go, holy shit, he bailed us out.
He was beat on one that came out of the corner, which, if we could look back on it, was hastily given away by the U.S. He shouldn't have done it. He was beat. They beat the keeper, just dragged wide.
Yeah. But ultimately, like, he hasn't been for... Oh, my God.
No.
Today, they had one shot on target.
I haven't had the opportunity to sing, "He's big, he saw his motherfucking wall." I haven't had that opportunity yet this tournament. He's obviously capable of the spectacular, and he's going to get tested against the Dutch. Tomorrow, your morning is a couple of flat tracks. You have the Danes, who have kind of an uneven tournament for the Danes. They're playing Australia, which is looking for a Cinderella story. And you've got France-Tunisia in the morning set. What do we have in the afternoon slate?
So, that's a must-win, by the way, for Denmark, we should say, because Australia right now are second in the group. They go into the game, progressing to the next round.
Denmark a heavy favorite.
Right, and that would sort of be the obvious call. And then the late window is pretty spicy. Poland against Argentina, and then Saudi Arabia against Mexico. Right now, the way that group sits, it's Poland on 4, Argentina on 3, Saudi Arabia on 3, and Mexico on 1. So
everybody's alive.
Yeah, everybody's alive, but, I mean, Poland against Argentina, if Argentina don't do this, and they don't get out of the group, I mean, that is a catastrophe for a footballing nation that suffered through the second game against Mexico. They got over the line. Maybe they can steady themselves, but even in that game, they weren't that good.
Yeah.
So I think Argentina is probably the team that's most sweating tomorrow.
You don't think that there was a moment after that Messi goal, because they really seemed to come alive.
That's fair.
That might be the moment that you can pinpoint, the galvanizing Leo Messi doing it in the shirt, a goal that they absolutely had to add in a game that certainly was not easy on the eyes. Big physical challenge. It seemed like Mexico was going to make it very difficult for the Argentinians. And then the goals started opening up. Lautaro Martinez, I know he scored 2 goals that ended up being both taken off the board, but he's been kind of non-existent, and we are once again at the point where it's just Messi and a bunch of other guys that need to step up to the plate. Do we see that tomorrow? Because it's basically, he's going up against Robert Lewandowski,
who's in a similar position.
Yeah, he's in a similar position. I'm so anti-Poland. I don't want to see Poland continue.
That would be such a dreadful knockout round fixture.
I have found myself, maybe it's because of the reports, he's linked to Inter Miami, and I've never historically rooted for Argentina, but the storyline is so spicy.
Yeah.
I want to see it continue. I know it would be pretty epic if they go out in an embarrassing fashion. Speaking of, Mexico.
Yeah.
Potential for a real embarrassing moment for them. And they go up against a Saudi Arabia team that was brilliant in their first match against Argentina, one of the biggest upsets in World Cup history. Flat in the second, different team. Yasser was immense for them, not available to them. Does the Saudis have what it takes to get out of this group against a listless Mexican team that we've seen so far?
Absolutely. I think they can do it. I think if you just say, at this World Cup in Qatar, who's the better team? Saudi Arabia has been the better team by a mile. You mentioned how they struggled in the second game against Poland. They're pretty competitive for 45 minutes, competitive for 60 before giving the goals away. So I just think Saudi Arabia has been simply better at this tournament. And so I am going to pick them to go through. I think they're going to beat Mexico, and then it just comes down to who doesn't get the result in the Poland-Argentina match. But I think the Saudis are getting through, and honestly, they might even get through as group winners, as crazy as that sounds.
Wow. So they would be the Asian representative. I know we still have some other teams it's going to take Japan beating Spain. It's going to be a tall order. South Korea, I think, need a miracle.
Australia could potentially get through tomorrow if they get a draw off the Danes.
Yeah, so we'll see. A lot of twists and turns still left in the World Cup, but the main headline is the U.S. did what it needed to do. They came into this game needing the dub. They needed to score on Iran and break them down. While we would have liked the second goal, certainly to calm our nerves, I certainly could have used that once the Red Bull started surging through my veins. Saints. Thanks a lot, Hildy. They did what they needed to do with immense pressure. Iran, though, didn't really test them all that much. They're certainly going to get more of a test, you would think, against the Dutch. So, any early predictions? I know you mentioned it's probably going to pens.
Yeah, I'm going to guess 0-0 after 120 minutes. And the U.S. get through on penalties.
Right.
I think they beat the Netherlands and get to a World Cup quarterfinal.
I'm going to be cowardly. I'm not going to make a pick yet.
Okay.
I need to see the fitness levels of Christian Pulisic.
That's true.
I need
Sargent as well.
Yeah, and Sargent. If they go into that game with what they started this game with, I like this identity for the U.S., and I love that scenario. I don't think the Dutch have been that good yet.
No, they haven't.
Something just a little bit off. They have the pieces to, if they're on, play the U.S. off the pitch. They just haven't been on. It's kind of a couple mismatched pieces there. So I'll wait to see what the injury news. It looked bad for Christian Pulisic. I'm actually a little scared now in seeing how he walked back. Hopefully it's just an impact injury, and he can get a lot of treatment there. We'll be with you live on location here at Bottle Blonde Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern time for the next biggest game in U.S. soccer history after we take a severe beatdown from Sugach just playing the only card he knows how. I'm the only one that believed in them. Yeah. You guys did it. You guys are cowards. Blah, blah, blah. I can take that as long as we keep progressing. Also, I am one loss away. I keep doing this to myself. I am one Dutch loss away from having to eat a text message.
Yes. So the text that you sent to our MLS group chat is, if the U.S. get to the World Cup quarterfinal, I will eat this text.
Yeah.
And that text was, I think the U.S. are going to finish dead last in their group. You've been very down on this U.S. team entering the tournament, and you can't have too many complaints.
Yeah.
Can't have too many complaints.
I know my record about eating paper hasn't been great on this show, but I will be so glad. I'll wash it down with an ice cold Miller Lite. I'll do that after the game against the Dutch.
Why don't you just knock out two papers at the same time?
Throw the paper,
a piece of paper.
I gotta talk to some people about this toilet paper thing. I think it's an HR violation. I'm not exactly
HR violation.
Yeah, you can't.
You
make
proposed
me do this.
It.
Yeah, you can't.
You
make
proposed
me do
the bet.
It's worse than it goes. It's pro FSU propaganda, and I don't want to end up in a recruiting video.
Is it dangerous for your health?
No, that all checks out.
It's not an HR violation.
No, but FSU Twitter is bad for my health.
That's true.
I can't give them the major advantage. Ah, soccer. Anyways, soccer. Soccer grabbed us all. Where's Chris Cody? Has he done the worm?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
He got the hell out of here.
Yeah, I think they ditched us. We'll have to do it tomorrow.
All right, we'll get him on the cameras tomorrow. All right, that'll do it for us here on Morally Abhorrent World Cup 2022. A reminder, Prime Video, you probably got American soccer fever right now. You want to wrap yourself in the flag. Why don't you do that with a loved one, boil some tea, and have yourself an evening by watching Good Rivals on Amazon Prime Video. You'll find the whole history between the U.S. and Mexico out there. We have Cooligans Daily. We have so many things going on here, both on Le Batard and Friends and Metal Arc as a whole. Treat yourself to that. And Grant Wall is boots on the ground and I'm sure he's very happy to be in Qatar a little bit longer.
Yeah, and we'll do our podcast tonight, and he'll give us the update on Christian Pulisic. So check out Football with Grant Wall. The feedback has been great, as well as the listenership. So we appreciate that. So check that out. The most important thing with Ashlyn Harris and Ali Krieger going as well, after the whistle with Brendan Hunt and Rebecca Lowe. So lots going on in the Metal Arc universe.
And what promises to be a picked up version of God Bless Football.
God Bless Football is going to be crushing it.
Yeah. So you got a lot to look forward to. So for Chris Whittingham, I'm Mike Ryan Ruiz signing off from Bottle Blonde. We'll see you Saturday. And we'll also see you tomorrow. We got plenty of shows to do. Well, plenty of exciting things to do. Why don't we go on after the late games? Because let's laugh in Mexico. What do you say?
I think this is going to be a laughing in Mexico.
I want to laugh in Mexico.
So perhaps even also a laugh at Argentina Fest.
Oh, boy. This World Cup's actually playing out quite nicely.
Yeah.
For the haters.
Like today, the final games in Group A and Group B were incredibly dramatic. The Senegal-Ecuador game was great. This USA-Iran game, well, maybe not great for the neutral. I'll have to ask some more neutrals. But it was certainly dramatic, and I was certainly sweating it at the end. So, high drama so far.
All right. U.S. advances. Let's laugh at Mexico tomorrow. And one last time for those watching at home. Let's go States!